Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Uncle Chill, there's no bad guy like Uncle Chill. Never lost, not even a round. Undefeated, undisputed. Oh yeah, here comes the bad guy. Uncle Chill, Uncle Chill. Never lost, not even a round. Undefeated, undisputed. Oh yeah, here comes the bad guy. Uncle Chill, Uncle Chill. There's no bad guy like Uncle Chill. Never lost, not even a round. Undefeated, undisputed. Oh yeah, here comes the bad guy, Uncle Chill.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. So, I was supposed to go on a family vacation, and I have to tell you how much I even resent those words. A true torture for me is if you give me a day off. I just do not like them. Now, the other side of the coin is because I have a lot of them. Like when I'm going somewhere, they will call what's called travel day. Your schedule will actually say that. This is a travel day. What does that mean? That means you're sitting on your ass on an airplane doing absolutely nothing. It could not be an easier day. That's a day off. So if you're a guy like me, you don't then get to go ask for a day off when you have something called a travel day. Travel day is a day off. Oh, by the way, wherever I travel to, I then have to come back. That's 2 days off. So the word vacation bothers me a lot. I do feel a built-in feature to being fortunate enough to have, you know, some of the opportunities with the announcing is that is a vacation. You're traveling, wife comes with you, sometimes kids come with us. That is a vacation. We're at a hotel. They got a pool somewhere. You're eating food at a restaurant. That's a vacation. Apparently, my family doesn't agree with me, so I have to go on this vacation. Okay, because of a lot of the shutdown, if you will, that's going on right now, we didn't go on the vacation. So we decide that we're going to drive to see my wife's father in a city called Baker. Now, Baker is a 5-hour drive each way. So we set out to see him, and I'm driving along. I'm minding my own business. But the relevance to the 5-hour drive, it's this nice, beautiful straight shot of something called the Columbia Gorge. And I mean, the sun was shining down, just beautiful. Nobody's on the street, not a literal statement, but you got the roads to yourself. I'm in a 65-mile-an-hour zone. I'm going 65, and I know, because I have my cruise control on. So when the unmarked trooper pulls up behind me with the party lights on, I know the first thing he's going to ask me. He's going to ask me, do you know how fast you are going? That's the same question every officer will ask everybody they ever pull over. Most people will answer it like a fool and go, oh, I didn't know. Knowing they were speeding, but playing the oh, silly me and hoping that will work. That's not what the officer's looking for. The officer is looking for you to say the words, no. I did not know. Because now if you go to court before a judge, the officer is claiming he did know and you've openly admitted on the record that you didn't know. Can't run that one back. I happen to know. I'm going 65 in a 65. However, when he gets to the window, that's not what he asked me. He said, hey, I had somebody pulled over on the side of the road and you did not move over to the far lane. Did you know that that is against the law? In which I didn't. The entire reason I'm sharing this story with you guys is because he taught me something and was gracious enough to educate me on it, give me a warning, and boom, I'm on my way. But I thought, well, you know, I should tell some other people. Maybe you guys didn't know this. He said, yeah, it's actually been a law for 2 years, adopted by 49 states within this country. But if an officer has somebody pulled over, or even if it's just a civilian pulled over, say, changing a tire scenario, when you see them, you don't stay in that lane. near their shoulder. You go to the opposite lane. Just sharing the story with you guys. But I have more. So I'm in the car. 5 hours. And I'm doing everything I can do to pass the time. But there's only so many songs you can sing when you got your family. There's so many times you can play I Spy. There's only so many stories that you can tell before you're going to lose everyone's attention. So I, being the driver, I got 10 hours round trip in a 20-hour period. I'm trying to keep my energy up. Coffee's only helping me so much, so I call my friend. I got a buddy named Douglas. And Douglas told me one of the wilder stories I've ever been told. I've even told you guys this story, but I haven't told you it in about 3 years. But I'm in one of these situations of boredom. I know a great story. I'm going to call Douglas, have him tell me the story on speaker. So the story essentially is this, okay? Three characters. Dan, Wes Sims, as in the Wes Sims, and the Raging Redneck, whose name I do not know, but that is his fight name. They're all MMA fighters. Wes was one of these guys who was able to parlay natural charisma and a God-given, fantastic body into a career. I mean, the guy's 6'8". He's 250 pounds. He's athletic and he's charming. He becomes the leader of this group in Ohio, where they all live. Members of the group, Dan, and the Raging Redneck. And they go around and they have a whole bunch of fights. Now, the Raging Redneck has a record of something so ridiculous, I don't know, but it's along the lines of 0-44. Like, the Redneck would turn the sport of MMA into more of performance art than actual competition. He would go out there, get kicked in the ass, fall down, and pretend he was knocked out. The fight would get called off, and he'd put his hand out to a promoter and say, pay me my show. Wes Sims would corner him while wearing a luchador mask. So these guys were traveling around the Midwest, and they were just having fun. And they also have Dan with them. Now, Dan went on and did have a pretty good MMA career. He was a mediocre record and a mediocre fighter, but he made something of it. And he was even on one of the teams for the IFL, the International Fight League, if you guys will recall that. Okay, I'm just setting the stage so you have the three characters. Now let's start to break it down. Dan had a wife. Dan went over to Thailand to work on specific Muay Thai training. He met a gal. He met her at a massage parlor. It's where she worked. And he fell in love and brought her back home. So she got a job at a massage parlor in Ohio. Store that away. Dan goes and has an MMA fight. The very next day, Dan goes to the massage parlor and gets in a verbal argument with his wife. Dan goes to leave. His wife decides she's not done with this conversation. So to prove her point to her husband, Dan, who's not doing a great job of listening, she goes ahead and jumps on the hood of the car as he starts to back out. Now, Dan wanted to make sure that he showed her that her safety was paramount to him. And he did that by going onto the highway at 55 miles an hour with her still on the hood when Johnny Law comes up and puts the bracelets on him. So when Dan goes inside, he gets a week. He has to do a week in jail, and then he's going to be able to get out and get his trial together, I guess. Whatever's going to happen, but he has 1 week, and he had just done the fight. Don't forget that. So he uses this one phone call from jail to call Wes to make sure that Wes goes and gets his fight purse check from the promoter, because when he gets out, that's all the money that he has, and he really needs that check to be ready. Wes tells him, no problem. Got it handled. Dan says, give the money to my wife. Wes says again, no problem. Got it handled. Wes goes and picks Dan up from jail 7 days later. Dan says, where's my money? Wes says, Dan, we'll discuss that later. But I did with that money exactly what I told you I would do, what you asked me to do. I took it to your wife. But right now, we need to get to the airport. We have somebody where we have somewhere we need to be. So Dan's going, hey, man, I don't really know what's going on. I just got out of jail. I got to get home. I got a wife. I got to go make up. I got some explaining to do. What are we doing? And Wes says, you know, I'm going to reveal all of that to you. So they go to the airport. And they get on a plane and they land in Chicago and they get in a limousine and they are taken to the set of the Jerry Springer Show. So they get into the doors of the Jerry Springer Show and Dan doesn't know what's going on. And Dan and Wes are put in one green room. And in the other green room is the Raging Redneck and Dan's wife. So Dan keeps asking Wes, why are we here? And Wes says to him, Dan, I can't tell you anything until we get on camera. But we're all paid to be here. We're all going to be paid to tell our story. But one obligation that I have as the person that set this whole thing up is I cannot reveal much to you. But I will tell you, you should be prepared to scrap with the redneck very soon. Now, I have to give Wes his due credit for that, because that is comedy genius as a line. Be prepared to scrap with the redneck. Now, I have to remind you, they're all friends. They're all teammates. They all travel around together. Now, this is a family-friendly show, so I'm going to attempt to connect the dots for you if you haven't connected them already. Wes and the redneck did take the fight purse money to Dan's wife at work. At the massage parlor. So Dan gets into another room and sees that that's the redneck and his wife. He puts the whole thing together. He storms back into where Wes was. Now, Wes sitting down is the same height as Dan standing up, but Wes was sitting Dan down, and Dan used the opportunity to karate chop Wes in the neck. And Wes, as he tells the story, even says, yeah, I'm a lot bigger and I could have handled him, but when he karate chopped my neck, my whole body went numb. So now Wes is sprawled out on the floor. Dan's putting the boots to him. The redneck comes in the room, sees what's going on, goes running down the hall, jets out the back door, gets in a car, returns to Ohio. The security of the Jerry Springer Show gets Wes and Dan, they shuffle them out back to a car that's waiting. Don't even take them to the hotel to re-pick up their bags. Take them straight to an airport, send them home. Show never gets made. Dan ends up having to go to jail on an attempted murder bid for driving down the highway at 55 miles an hour with his wife on the windshield. I feel as though I can just stop the story here. I think you guys have enough, but when you're in a car for 10 hours like I am and you're a little limited for information and you call your buddy Douglas on speaker, that's the story. Did you know that many conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands and keeps you from sweating? Guys, that's not good. Native's deodorant is made without aluminum so you can feel better about what you're putting on your body. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's made with ingredients that you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. I have been using Native ever since I learned about them, and it's worked great. I've been using the citrus and herbal musk. It's a nice fragrant without being too pungent or overwhelming. Texture was great. I didn't even notice I had it on. I even worked out while I was wearing it in the gym. Already using Native deodorant? Guys, Native is excited for the relaunch of their toothpaste line. Most natural toothpaste feel like natural toothpaste during brushing. Little bit gritty, little too foamy, limited freshening power, and without the clean mouth feeling you expect after brushing your teeth. Native's toothpaste use a special blend of naturally derived cleansers, flavors, and whiteners to deliver a great brushing experience without the trade-offs of other natural toothpaste. They are offering two minty flavors with the option of fluoride or fluoride-free that will help your mouth feel squeaky clean. Whitening, wild mint and peppermint oil, and detoxifying charcoal with mint. It whitens teeth, it freshens breath, it's enamel-safe, and prevents cavities. If you want to give Native's products a try and help support the show, we've got a discount for you. For 20% off of your purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com. Use the promo code CHAIL during checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com, promo code CHAIL. The American Top Team in Florida, owned, founded, ran by Dan Lambert. Now, this is the home of Colby Covington, Joanna, by example. It's where Tyron Woodley used to train. It's where Robbie Lawler used to train. It's where Dustin Poirier does train. It's where the BMF, George Masvidal, does train. So they started 3 days ago. Official no trash talk policy. Okay, how are you going to define that? Well, here's how we're going to define it. You can talk trash if and only if you have a signed bout agreement, and you can talk trash about and only about the person who you have an upcoming contest with. Now, we all understand where that came from. These guys started going at one another. I mean, you had so many greats at 170. Again, don't forget the lineage of the championships. Robbie Lawler was in there. T-Wood was in there. Colby Covington's in there. The BMF is in there. They're all the same weight class. That's right now. If I wanted to back up a little bit, Hector Lombard used to be in there. Same weight class. So you get a little bit heavy. You get a little bit of egos. I mean, look, I think what we saw unfold out there might be a more extreme case than we've seen unfold, but it was only more extreme because it was public. I can tell you in our old Team Quest days, we had Chris Lieben, Ed Herman, Nate Quarry, Matt Lindland, Dan Henderson, Evan Tanner, myself, all in the same weight class, Matt Horwich, Josh Haynes, all in the same weight class. We were so middleweight heavy, and there is ego and there is competition. I mean, there's no reason to hide from that. Nobody's stepping out of anybody's way. This is our team. This is our group. We love one another, but we will compete. The difference that ATT went through largely, and I think everybody at every gym could tell a very similar story to the one that I just did, where ATT was a little bit different as it became public. It left the room. We had massive infighting with the guys that I just named, but it stayed with us. And I think everybody else that was to tell a story could tell that same one. ATT, it left the room. That was the one thing that was different. So Dan Lambert comes in, he says, I'm going to change it. The question is, does that work and how is that going to affect things? Well, let me personalize this just a little bit. When I was in college, our team had become very negative. And we all really liked one another, but we became really negative. And over the course of a wrestling season where you've got day in and day out, morning workouts, afternoon workouts, get your homework done, enjoy some kind of a social life, hit the road to the next town, make weight, do battle with another train killer, come home with the only thing to look forward to is that the following week you get to do all of those things again. It can just be really tough. It can be one of these pressure cookers. So our coach, I remember when he did it, Coach Kearney comes in, he goes, you know what? Done. This is over. I don't care if you guys swear. I don't care if you say something bad about yourself, about your teammate, about the program, about nothing to do. You say anything negative, you're out. And the day he did it was so weird. We're adults. We might be young adults. We might be 19 or 20 or 21 years old, but we're adults. Say whatever we want. Well, no. We started following this. We respected coach's lead. We followed it. It worked. It took about 2 weeks. But it did change. It did change everybody's attitudes and everybody's mind. Because what happens when you stop talking trash? When you stop cursing? When you stop saying negative things? Well, what's left? The only thing that's left is you start saying positive words. And you start having a positive outlook and you start saying positive things. And I can tell you over a period of time, and as hard as it was for us as young adults, I can only imagine as you have adults that are closer to 30 years old, it's probably a little tougher to go, wait a minute, you tell me what I can say? Tell me what I can do? And Lambert didn't say, no, absolutely not. He just said, before you do it, make sure you mean it. And to show me and the world that you mean it, sign a damn bout sheet. We'll figure it out from there. But until that bout sheet's signed, zip your mouth. It seems pretty straightforward to me. I mean, it's a little bit undone. It's a little bit unconventional, but it was also an unconventional, undone situation that he was in where he's watching his mega team start battling itself. I don't know that he had a lot of options. I think that Dan Lambert deserves a well done. You all know me. I'm an active person. I like combat sports. I like wrestling. I like boxing. I like to even run and lift some weights. But you know what? I'm always looking for something that can give me a natural edge so I can be better and get more out of every workout. And that's why I started taking Beat Elite from Human. Human Beat Elite can help you extend your endurance. Guys, let me tell you a little about this. All you're going to do is take a scoop, put it in some cold water, and stir it up. I suggest you do a low amount of water and just shoot the thing. But you want to do this 20 minutes before a workout because it's going to help you with oxygen. It helps get oxygen through your body so you have more stamina. And this isn't like a regular energy drink, guys. I'm not talking about GMOs. I'm not talking about caffeine. I'm not talking about stimulants of any kind. Beat Elite helps conserve energy by focusing on blood flow and oxygen transport. That's what you guys have been hearing all about, these different beet extracts and what they do. This stuff works. The bottom line is this stuff works. Some people don't love the taste. Okay, great. Put a little bit into a cup, stir it up, shoot it down. You want to do that. Take this from me. You want to do it about 20 minutes before a workout. Some people are going to tell you within 45 minutes. I like to do it 20. I keep it in my car. I pull into the parking lot at the gym. I make my quick drink. I shoot it down. I go in. I change my clothes. I get on the mat. That's me, but I think that you should take this from me. Beat Elite is trusted by hundreds of elite athletes and teams all over the world. I'm talking organizations like the NCAA, the NFL, the National Hockey League, the NBA, the Olympic Games. Don't just go buy any old beet powder. That stuff won't cut it, okay? You want Beat Elite from Human. And I'm going to make a deal with you, okay? Here's the deal. Get 20% off your first purchase. The team at Human is making this offer exclusive to listeners of this program only. You will not find this deal anywhere else. Go to this website, livehuman.com/chael. That's L-I-V-E, human.com/chael for 20% off. livehuman.com/chael. All right, guys, just for the sake of conversation, let's talk about Gaethje versus McGregor. Something is going on here, right? In this sport, where there is smoke, there's fire, 99% of the time. It would make a level of sense to put Conor and Gaethje in there, so I think we can accept that. I think we also push back on the notion that Conor is going to sit out for the winner of Khabib and Tony, which in a best case scenario seems to be up in the air, whether you're even going to have that fight, and then up in the air again in terms of who is going to win that match. If it goes to the favorite, who is Khabib, who then goes right into Ramadan and isn't available until September, it just seems like a long time to have McGregor sitting around. So it also seems like a very trying and difficult time to be making fights, particularly of that magnitude, when you got all your venues and you got all your operations sitting on hold. But what do you do? And what do you do? You don't plan for negative things. You plan for positive things. So you start to move the ship forward. So Henry Cejudo comes out and he said that Justin Gaethje would get rid of Conor McGregor in less than one round. Destroy. Justin Gaethje would destroy Conor McGregor in less than one round. Okay. The champ is speaking about a fight, he has the right to be heard. But I do think you're left at the question of how. How does he do that? And Justin Gaethje is a magnificent wrestler. Conor McGregor has very good wrestling defense. Very good. It's not bulletproof, but it qualifies as more than good, and I'm going to put it all the way up at very good. The problem with Gaethje, if that's where you're choosing to hang your hat, that Gaethje's going to throw him down and beat him up or throw him down and tap him out. And he's got less than a round. Right? Henry didn't give a whole lot of time. Henry gave him less than a round. So it's got to be something that's explosive and quick. Ground and pound could be one option, but you do have to default back to the fact that Gaethje, that fight would be very similar to what we just discussed, Yoel Romero versus Adesanya. Yes, on paper. And in reality, Yoel is a great wrestler. Yes, on paper and in reality, Justin Gaethje is a great wrestler. But how many times can Yoel walk out there and head for the locker room when the night's over, never having wrestled once by choice? How many times can Justin Gaethje go out there, have a competition, head for the showers, never once wrestle, and we still come out and talk about this great wrestler? I mean, it's one of these things where it's probably going to be a dogfight. Conor prefers a shootout, and Gaethje likes a dogfight. He just does. So do you believe that Gaethje is a better striker than Conor? Do you believe he's a significantly better striker than Conor? Because according to the champ, Henry, it's going to be less than 5 minutes. Is Gaethje fast enough? Is he powerful enough? Is he accurate enough? The question could be yes. But this is essentially what you have to ask yourself. Now, I want to ask another part of this question, which is, where's the swerve? If Connor and Gaethje are going to fight, what is the swerve? Because Connor is not going to just go fight him at his weight class of 155 pounds because that is what 255-pounders should do. Not how Connor's mind works. There has to be something weird if you want Connor involved. You can make it a different sport. You can make it a leg wrestling match. You can make it an arm wrestling match. You are far more likely to get Conor McGregor's acceptance and excite Conor than if you just do it a straight line, 255-pounders against each other, five-round fight, because it's the main event. We're going to follow the unified rules. We'll weigh in the day before. See you Saturday at 5 o'clock. Hey, that's... No. Conor's got to have something just a little bit different. There's a reason that nobody can do what Conor did, because Conor will always make sure that the recipe gets changed by one degree, which keeps him unique and keeps him wildly interesting, in all fairness. Conor McGregor is interesting. When Conor McGregor is doing something, you realize something's happening here. I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to turn this on, and I'm going to watch it. So, what is going to be the swerve? I think it's probably the most obvious, by the way. I think it's probably the most obvious, which is Conor makes him fight at 170 pounds. Or Gaethje refuses to 170, which I don't think he would do, and Conor goes, okay, well, we're going to do it at 164 and a half pounds. There has to be something weird. There's got to be something weird for Conor. Or they take it to Ireland. And Conor just finally gets to do that dream that he's always wanted to fight at Croke Park. He's always wanted to fight in front of his fans in the biggest arena in the country. Maybe that's what it is. But there's going to be something. Mark my words, there's going to be something. We'll see if Henry's right. I mean, he put Justin in a real box there. Justin's got to get rid of a guy who won 3 world championships, who Floyd couldn't get rid of that fast, who Khabib couldn't get rid of that fast. You decide who the best fighter of all time is. But some of you are going to decide it's Floyd, and some of you are going to decide it's Khabib. Neither one of them got Conor out of there as fast as Henry thinks. And secondly, what's the swerve going to be? Listen up. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's and your renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you can save. That's geico.com, geico.com. Question of the day from the Kids on the Underground Forum was, what mixed martial arts fighters could Bruce Lee beat? So who would be the best mixed martial arts fighter that Bruce Lee could then beat? Now, come on. None. Silly question. Bruce Lee, whenever I speak about him, I come with a very negative tone that I don't know is fair. I was a Bruce Lee fan. I'm still a Bruce Lee fan. But I feel that the integrity of the sport of what we're seeing now through the world of mixed martial arts, all the testing that went on. I mean, this was tested from 1993. That was essentially the entire idea of mixing the different martial arts, was to test them and then come out the other end with an answer as to, if I want to be great at unarmed combat, what specifically should I be working on? That was essentially the question. So once so many people went out there and tried this and worked, and the blood and the sweat and the tears and the competition and the lights and the camera and the action and the fans, once we go and do that and test it, I do feel that there was then an integrity owed to the answer. And the answer most certainly was not what Bruce Lee was doing. But what Bruce Lee does get credit for, including from me, was philosophy. And his philosophy was nowhere near as sophisticated and as intelligent as some of his pot-smoking fans will lead you to believe, or compared to what he thought it was. But in fairness, it was forward-thinking at that time. All Bruce's philosophy was, is try a whole lot of different fighting forms and steal anything that works from any of them. And while you guys will hear me say that now and go, well, yeah, duh. Oh, okay, I agree with you. That would be a very obvious statement right now. But it wasn't in Bruce's time. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even in 1993 the first time they set the octagon up. even then, if you were a Taekwondo specialist, you only trained Taekwondo. You would not even go into a judo dojo. And if you did, and your sensei found out you did, he would not let you back in yours. This was very real. This was a very, very real thing that you pick one art and you swear by it and you uphold the beliefs of that art over all other beliefs and arts to the end. So what Bruce was saying about, no, feel free to train some judo over here. Work on some boxing over here. Work on your JKD over here. Put them all together. Understand the values of nutrition. Understand how important strength training, speed training, and conditioning can be. I understand that's obvious now, but it wasn't obvious then. And he had the courage to step out of the shadows and voice this publicly and start to educate. Now, the other problem with Bruce Lee is he was anything but a fighter. He never went out and fought anybody. Bruce Lee has the same thing in common with all the other fakes, whether the fake Steven Seagal, fake Jean-Claude Van Damme, you could go right through the list. All the phonies have one thing in common, and that is a geographical location known as Los Angeles, California. If you could set up shop and tell a story to a bunch of jerks in your backyard or in your garage, to some guys in California, over time, you could make them some believers. And over time, if those guys ever wrote a script or went into production of any level or became actors of any kind or got interviews, and you could get them to continue to tell the story the way you told it to them in your backyard, you can then go on and be a myth and or a legend. And that's what those guys did. So as much as I do want to give them a hard time for that, let's tell the other side of it. I don't know that they, I know they weren't looking for competitions. I know they didn't have real fights, and I know they weren't looking for fights. But does that mean they wouldn't have done that had that been an opportunity that was given? Mixed martial arts didn't exist. A lot of the grappling events that we see today didn't exist. A lot of combat as we know it today from a competitive standpoint, the networks, the outlets, the digital opportunities, the streaming, the events and the event organizers just simply didn't exist. So I can sit around here and give Bruce Lee a hard time for working out with daytime waiters and nighttime moonlighters as scripts and guys that wanted to be in the film and production TV. I can sit around and do that. I'd even be factually correct, but I'm also being a bit of a dick if I don't lend some truth to the fact that Bruce was trying to get something going. He was trying to teach people that they could go into competitions when and if and should those competitions ever come around. That is true, and Bruce does deserve that. And Bruce was working with people, and it wasn't just for money, and it wasn't a hoax. He truly believed these things, and he spent a lot of time on his art, and he spent some time with some real guys. Chuck Norris didn't make my list of phonies. Chuck Norris was the real deal. But Chuck Norris also went out and proved it in competition. Bruce proved it through words, and he proved it through working with fools that then went into media and perpetuated. That's accurate by me. So when you talk about who could Bruce beat, but you would be the same person to go look at a Steve Jenham or somebody that fought in the very early shows and dismiss them. You dismiss them because you have footage of them losing. You accept Bruce because you have no footage of him winning or of losing. For me, that's a sucker's bet. Hiring is a challenge, but there's one place you can go to hire where it's simple, it's fast and smart. A place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates. The place is ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. You can even add screening qualifications to your job while listening so that you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within 24 hours. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. If you're one of my listeners, simply go to ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Guys, I got a call from a very good friend of mine who's worked in the paper business for 20 years. He told me something and said to share it with you all. A lot of people are out looking for masks right now, like construction or medical masks to cover their face. And there's a shortage in supply. My friend who's been in the paper business over 2 decades told me, hey, Chael, the exact same materials used for those masks are the exact same materials we use to make coffee filters. So put the word out. If somebody can't find a mask, get a coffee filter, do the rubber band trick. You're welcome. Alex Volkanovsky was on TMZ the other day, and he was talking about he wants to rematch Max. And I believe that fight has already been announced as official. What I'm talking about is him saying, this is the match that I wanted. I need to beat Max because there were some questions after that first fight. Max was the greatest featherweight of all time. Now I'm here. I am the greatest, but beating Max twice proves it. So the question is he right? No. No, he's not. He would be for the short term, but let me tell you the psychology here. And this is the psychology of the fan, and it's very unfair, and the fan doesn't even know they do it, but the media is going to support the fan. And here's what the message is going to be. If Alex goes out and beats Max, and Max is the greatest featherweight of all time, if Alex goes out and beats Max, much like Max taking the crown of greatest of all time from Jose Aldo, who up until that point was the greatest of all time. Turned out that time was done. Boom, it goes over to Max. Max proved it not just once, but he proved it twice. So Volkanovsky trying to apply that same algorithm to going out and getting the jump on Max. The way the story is going to go, particularly if Alex does it easily, the more difficulty that Alex does not have in the fight is not going to elevate Alex more. It's going to make all of the media come out and tell all of the fans, and the fans then go onto social media and come back and tell Alex and ruin his master plan that, no, Max is over his time. You didn't beat a great featherweight. You beat a guy past his time. The guy is the beat. You need to go out and do business with your ear. It's going to be more of talk like that. Now, before that is to bother or hurt Alex's feelings or even his motivation, without that, Alex, guys, we don't have an industry. There is no fight business unless there's more questions constantly put out there, more obstacles. If you ever can successfully climb that mountain, you're not going to like how your career goes. You're going to be fighting in front of arenas with a whole lot of people dressed up as empty seats. You need that question. That question is good. You don't ever want to be the greatest of all time while still competing. It's very catchy. It sounds nice. Sure, it helps you cut the line at your local club. It doesn't do anything for you for business. You want those questions. You want to constantly be questioned. You want, this guy's on a good run, but that run's going to stop, and I know who can stop him, and it's this Saturday night. I can't wait to watch. That's what you want. As much as you believe that it would be fun to walk around and everybody go, you're the greatest of all time. You're the greatest. No, not actually what you want. You want that question. You want to drive. You got to keep that drive from that question. What you want to be is the guy that fights anybody at any time and can beat them. If you can do that, then you're the greatest of all time. But if you will fight anybody at any time and you can beat them, you will also be the first to do it. Because the sad reality is, while we are in a tough sport, we are still plagued with a bunch of wimps. Did you know that many conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands and keeps you from sweating? Guys, that's not good. Native's deodorant is made without aluminum, so you can feel better about what you're putting on your body. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's made with ingredients that you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. I have been using Native ever since I learned about them, and it's worked great. I've been using the citrus and herbal musk. It's a nice fragrant without being too pungent or overwhelming. Texture was great. I didn't even notice I had it on. I even worked out while I was wearing it in the gym. Already using Native deodorant? Guys, Native is excited for the relaunch of their toothpaste line. Most natural toothpaste feel like natural toothpaste during brushing. Little bit gritty. Little too foamy. Limited freshening power and without the clean mouth feeling you expect after brushing your teeth. Native's toothpaste use a special blend of naturally derived cleansers, flavors, and whiteners to deliver a great brushing experience without the trade-offs of other natural toothpaste. They are offering 2 minty flavors with the option of fluoride or fluoride-free that will help your mouth feel squeaky clean, whitening, wild mint and peppermint oil, and detoxifying charcoal with mint. It whitens teeth, it freshens breath, It's enamel safe and prevents cavities. If you want to give Native's products a try and help support the show, we've got a discount for you. For 20% off of your purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com. Use the promo code CHAIL during checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com, promo code CHAIL. Let's do some fan questions.
Hey, Chael. Tom from Alaska. Do you think with the lessons and losses Johnny Walker is experiencing, we're watching him evolve into something really special? Thanks.
Well, Johnny Walker's not a worse fighter now than he was then. I mean, right? The competition is really hard. Johnny Walker also had a unique skill set. Anytime you start getting some video on a guy, which means the more times he compete, that's just more video that you can sit back and break down. I mean, there are some things that have happened there. I think the overarching conflict that he has found himself as of late is that he changed gyms. He's at a great gym. He was at a great gym before. He's got a new coach, great coach. He had a great coach before. What I'm offering for you is that anytime you change something, you generally are going to change the outcome. And so you make some of these risks and these changes in life to try to make things better. I mean, I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just sharing with you when it goes to the world of sport, the right fit matters. And even when you find the right fit, and it appears that Johnny has, it can take a little bit of time. I mean, martial arts to the highest of levels is a system in front of everything else. What is our system? What is your system? What are our philosophies? What are your philosophies? When you go into somewhere new, you can get better, but it can take a little bit of time. Sometimes you're changing and you're adapting. I had teammates that did this many times where I can remember specifically when we were at Team Quest, some guys would leave, they would go train elsewhere, they would come back. They would have a whole bunch of new tricks, skills, philosophies, training methods. But the rounds that we would then spar also became increasingly easier for those of us that were in and staying and doing the same stuff. So you have a real balance there. And I'm not here to tell you what is wrong. You want to make sure that you always have an open mind. Very good to go places and get knowledge. One of the most ideal ways to train that I have personally seen is where somebody will go to a different camp for a week. Then they will come back. They'll implement, they'll change a thing or two if it fit within them naturally, but they'll keep their core that they've always had. Then they'll leave and they'll go again for a week. When you actually move and you go somewhere else and you push all those other things behind you, you don't have the same facilities, you don't have the same practice schedule, the same teammates, the same coaches. That's where it just becomes a little bit riskier. Now, with big risk can come big reward. I think that Johnny is going to adapt. I know the room that he's in now. I know who his training partners and his coaches are now. I think I would go as far as to call it an ideal situation. But it's not one that can just happen with the snap of a fingers or even through a training camp. It just takes a little bit of time to adjust to the nuance. Listen up. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and your renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to GEICO.com. Get a quote. See how much you can save. That's GEICO.com. GEICO.com.
Lean, mean, 217, solid steel, sex appeal, the women's pet, and the men's regret. Chael, I got a quick question for you. You're a very confident, intelligent guy. I want to know, you've handled so much adversity. What was the number one thing that helped you get through that? And what or who do you feel made you the man that you are today? Thanks.
Well, that was an extremely nice compliment that you just paid me. So let me start off with a thank you. I will share with you, the world's a very big place. And if you get stuck in the cracks, you sometimes can't ever get out. You just can't ever go forward. And I really believe that anything that you're doing in life, there's only one way to go, and that is forward. I don't think you can't stay, you can't go back. And that could come to relationships where you get your heart broken. That could come to jobs that you lose. That could go all the way up to death, the hardest thing that we ever have to deal with, right, in this world. But you can't stay and you can't go back. You got to go forward. You got to push your way through it. And I've been around coaches that have always subscribed to the philosophy of getting one degree better each day. And that's more of a sports mindset, but I think we're kind of doing a sports show. I think that I'm within my lanes here, but that is a very real thing. If you can just get one degree better, I mean, the only way a goldfish can eat a shark is a whole lot of little bites. One of the times that I learned this most of my life, I got right out of college and I was going to go start a business. And like most people that are 23 years old and think that the world is in the palm of their hand, I went to my dad. I went to my dad for a loan, and my dad said, well, I need to see a business plan. I want you to write it out, absolutely everything that you need to be successful, write it all down. So I did. And to get this business going that I wanted to start, I only had to do, there was only like 10 things. And some of them were complicated, but there was 10 things. Wrote it all down, took it to him. Okay, great, he's in. So then he gave me my marching orders, and I'm looking at it going, I really don't know how to do this. I don't really know the first step. Do you hire personnel? Do you capitalize? Do you try to raise more? I don't really know the first step. My dad was leaving for work one morning. It was about 6:30 in the morning. And he brought me that list that I wrote him. He handed it to me. And he said, by the time I get home today, I want one of these things done. One of these 10 things that you said that you have to have to be successful, I just want one of them done. You're free to do whatever you want with the rest of your day. And the next day, he wanted another one done. And the next day, he wanted another one done. Before he knew, he had them all done. And it was very much an insurmountable task at that time. It was more of a dream. It was more of an idea. It was more of something to talk about, as opposed to actually put it into action. But I did learn a lesson that day, which is, boy, if you just take a step forward, and then you take another step forward, you can really get things done. So I don't know that I could hand you the perfect advice on how to deal with adversity. I will just share with you that I've seen people, and you have too, that can point to the failure or the mistake in their life. And sometimes it was 20 years ago. And sometimes it's something that you wouldn't be able to relate to, thinking it was a big deal. Some guy missed a catch in the big game, or he's headed for the end zone and he drops the ball, or some girl broke his heart and went to the dance with somebody else. There's a number of things, but you'll meet people that can very clearly identify. This is why I'm an alcoholic. This is why I didn't live my dream. This is why I didn't try. That's a very real thing. I will just share with you that at a young age, I was able to see that and observe that and realize no matter what, I am moving forward.
What's up, ChLP? This Junebug from South Omaha, Nebraska. What's up with your old nemesis Anderson Silva? Is he retired? I haven't seen anything from him in a while. I think his last fight was against Cannoneer. I think he got beat up in the legs pretty good. Hurt his leg, if I remember. What's going on with him? Have you heard anything? Am I missing something? Is he booked for a fight? Has he been popped from USADA again? Or, you know, what's going on with him? Take care. Love the show. Keep doing your thing.
That's what I'd like to know. That is so funny that you just asked me that question. I just asked that question to Big John McCarthy. I said, John, you hearing anything about Anderson? Is he going to fight again? And John said, yeah, I think he is going to fight again. And that was his answer. And I realize that's not overly in depth. I'm just sharing with you that I was wondering the same thing. And I know that Anderson's very busy. I mean, I know that he does stay active. He is still involved. I know his son just had a kickboxing match. His son is like 19 now and possibly even 20. Look great. He looks like Anderson. He actually moves like Anderson. He's long, he's lean, he's fast. He gives you lots of movements, lots of things to look at. And after the son fought, and this was about 2 months ago, but after his son fought, Anderson put a clip of it out, released like some footage of his glorious moment, his son getting his hand raised. But Anderson made a comment within that clip, saying, perhaps this is my new direction, or perhaps this is my new place in MMA. I am not quoting, but I'm paraphrasing, and I can tell you as a father, that is a very real thing. When there's something that you want to do, and it's just so hard to let go of, and a career is very hard to let go of. I mean, the death of a career, it's a real thing. So, and I realize that no one's going to cry for you, feel bad for you, but it doesn't mean it's any easier for you. Particularly when it's your identity, particularly when this is what you do, this is what you're known as. Particularly when you have been as disciplined as Anderson, even the schedule. The schedule can be a very seductive thing. I mean, to get up in the morning and go get a workout in, to come back and make healthy food that gives you more energy and makes you feel better. You get a phone call or two doing media, people are interested in what you're doing. That's a very rare thing. Everybody in life works hard. Everybody in life contributes and pitches in, but very few people get recognized for it. I mean, it's a very real thing. So to close that chapter yourself, Don't forget that aspect of it too. Anderson Silva can fight anytime he wants. They will give him a fight. They will make a big deal out of it. He'll have a whole jackpot at the end of the night. But he's got to make that decision. You know what I mean? I mean, for some guys, it's very hard, but a promoter will come in and he'll rip that Band-Aid off. Your time is done. And that's hard. When it's your own choice, yeah, it can make the decision a little bit easier, but it can also make getting to that decision more challenging. So I think it's a very real thing. I think Anderson gave us a lot heavier message and a lot bigger clue when he made that statement as it related to going on being not only a fan, but a coach and a participant in his son's career. I think that will make things a little bit easier. And to your point, I mean, we haven't heard boo. He has not made any claim that he wants to compete. The guys respect him so much that nobody's calling him out. I mean, Anderson's a guy you would call out. You'd want to be on the docket with. You'd want to have that experience. The guys in the back are so respectful, they're not even challenging him. So I'm with you. I'm curious. I'm with very little information. But I do think as time goes by, I do think that the social media post and the comment that Anderson made is going to be closer and closer to reality than perhaps an off-branded comment the way most interpreted it.
Hey, Uncle Chael. My name's Vince. I'm one of your biggest fans. And I just want to know one thing. Do you think Justin Gaethje is going about getting a fight with Conor the right way? Peace.
I really think he is, yeah. I like Gaethje's approach. I mean, first off, you have to understand, people like Gaethje. If you don't have a mandate, you don't have anything in terms of calling someone out. You could do that. You could use the most beautiful words. You could look great doing it. You could point your finger right in somebody's chest. If you don't have fans that then take that message, okay, they take that little spark that you started and dump a bunch of fuel on it, you just don't have anything. So Justin's always in a good place to call somebody out. Justin's done a lot of great fights. Can he get Conor? Because you do have to understand, if the answer becomes yes, Justin's going to be happy. He's getting what he wanted, but he's going to be tremendously insulted. They are simply not putting anybody in there with Conor that they believe can derail what they believe to be the biggest fight in history, let alone of 2020, which is a rematch with Conor Khabib. So in all fairness, and I don't think that's going to hurt Justin's feelings. I think he just wants to get in there and get the fight. But Justin said something as early as today, and I liked it. I thought it was a good, solid, psychological play. And all that he said was, if Conor fights me, if Conor beats me, nobody will complain about Conor becoming the number one contender and getting the Khabib rematch. He makes a good point. I mean, there's people out there right now that believe Gaethje is the number one contender. I think you have a few guys to choose from at 155 pounds. I don't think there's ever been a division in the history of the sport as stacked as 155 pounds. I mean, you could wake up tomorrow and read a headline, Hooker's fighting for the title. Great. That will be your response. No one's going to say Hooker doesn't deserve it. You could wake up tomorrow and DeBronx is fighting for the title. Great. That'll be your response. Nobody would push back. You could wake up tomorrow. You could throw Poirier in the mix. We do have Ferguson in the mix. Kevin Lee's always one fight away. Just one of these situations. So with that theory being true that Gaethje right now could become a number one contender, Gaethje is also correct that if Conor could beat Gaethje, yeah, you just can't complain. The miss in that, I mean, it's not a perfect statement, but what statement is? The miss in that is, just because somebody is complaining doesn't mean they're not watching. And ultimately, that is all that we're arguing about here. I think Gaethje's in a good spot. He's going to need to do something to make Conor just a little bit more interested. And I don't know what that something is, but he's going to need to do something, whether that's location, whether they change the weight and make that a little bit goofy, there's just got to be something somewhere in there. But as far as a fight that people want to see, guys, I got to tell you, I talk about MMA every single day. I can't remember the last day I have not spoke about Conor versus Gaethje. I mean, that would be awesome. That would check a lot of boxes. That's going to be a stand-up thriller. And I also think, if you are also to add in conjunction to everything I just said, Justin's point. I don't know that that's the number one driver that's going to land this fight. The fact that then people can't complain about Conor taking on Khabib, I don't know how much of a driving factor that is, but it is a factor. It is a piece of this. It is very real. It was smart by Gaethje. And I'm looking forward to see what he does next. All right, guys, I've had it with you, but I'll be back on Friday. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Survivor Season 40 is here with 20 past champions returning for Winners at War. Survivor fans know that this is the best Survivor season in years, and we're breaking it all down after each episode on Rob Has a Podcast. I'm two-time Survivor Rob Cesternino, host of Rob Has a Podcast, and we've got recaps, interviews with your favorite former players, and a community of Survivor fans from all around the world. So come check out Rob Has a Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Podcast One app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.